Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. It is January 8th, 2022. This is Fightful's post-show for AEW Battle of the Belts, brought to you by Manscaped.com. Code Fightful. Go over there, check them out, show them some love, let them know that you heard about them from us. Also, athleticgreens.com/Fightful. Love them. They are our top sponsor, so show them some love, too, even if it's tweeting them, letting them know you heard about them from us. We got Alex Pawlowski here. Alex, how you doing?
Good. I'm ready to speculate wildly on what we could do with the Codyverse now that there's two TNT titles.
Well, Robert DeFelice is also here. Robert's a busy night tonight. We got Impact Hard to Kill. Don't worry, guys. If you're watching live, Denise Salcedo and Steven Jensen will be live right after that show. I'll be feeding them some exclusive information as well. Lots of stuff going on there. Robert, how you doing?
Doing pretty good. You know, very interested in the wild speculation for the Codyverse. And it's a good night of wrestling.
Let's get right into that, guys. Leave a thumbs up on this video. First, 1 hour special, which was quite interesting. The fact that they even said, let's do a 1 hour special, three title matches. I mean, some things switched up and changed as Cody was sidelined with COVID. Dustin Rhodes stepped in and they announced that it would be for an interim TNT title. Now, a lot of people in wrestling are like, what the hell is that? If you cover MMA, it's way too common. Just like if somebody sneezes and Dana White doesn't like the way that they sneeze, interim title time. But TNT Championship interim title match, Sammy Guevara does defeat Dustin Rhodes. I mean, the action in this match was incredible. However, at no point in my fandom will I ever be convinced that a Canadian destroyer through a table should not be the finish. Alex, how'd you feel about this match itself?
I really loved it. This to me was Dustin's best match in AEW since the Cody Rhodes match. Like that's going along. Like I loved that he fooled me into thinking, Dustin doesn't have it anymore. Cause the first 5 minutes was just him like waiting in the corner, trying to catch his breath, and Sammy, you know, healing it up for a change. Yes. Like it was like, oh, that's the Sammy that I fell in love with. The heel that is fun to like go, hey, Sammy, stop being such a smarmy asshole. Like I thought it was interesting to have Sammy work heel in this match. But I thought that Dustin then all of a sudden turned it on, was hitting Canadian destroyers left and right. I think he throws a better crossroads than his brother. He kicks out of a GTH. Like this was Dustin Rhodes' match, and Sammy also looked great in it, which is kind of an interesting way of putting it. But I really thought this match was excellent. Sammy, since he became the TNT champion the first time, has had nothing but great matches. And yet I still feel, along with a lot of other people, that his reign has been kind of lackluster because they haven't given him a story as part of it. And now I think that's changing, and that's good.
And if this would have went the other way and Dustin would have won, I think I could have been very interested in that, with Cody Rhodes being the person that challenged him as well. I was with you, Alex. The first 5 minutes, I was like, oh no, is this the end of Dustin Rhodes? No, he sold me a ticket. Yep. He was just selling me a ticket, and he was playing the old man that he will never be. It's just, I love it. I first saw this guy on Royal Rumble 1990 on a VHS tape, wrestling against Virgil and Ted DiBiase. I'm sure I saw it years later, but that was the first thing of him that I saw. Robert, my God, this guy is miraculous. Brent Lockman says, crazy that Dustin's been wrestling for longer than Sammy's been alive. Love that they leaned into that. And Brent, we will address this second part afterwards. But Robert, your thoughts on Dustin?
Dustin Rhodes is just casually, this man used to do a heart punch for a finish. And now he's just casually doing apron Canadian destroyers through tables. It's fantastic. I'm not crazy about Sammy just kicking out of that. I'm not crazy about Sammy kicking out of a cradle pile driver on the floor.
Two crossroads hopping right back up.
Yeah,
I'm not big of that.
I could do without that, but I think Dustin still has a run in him, and I hope it's a tag title run with his brother, because there is something there to that Codyverse, and I think a lot of it can be unlocked through Dustin.
Yeah, I can forgive a lot of the kickouts and stuff a lot more when the match is so freaking good. And that's the situation here. I'll always be a stickler for like psychology and stuff like that. And I mean, I am now the old guy that used to say, wish the DDT always pinned somebody. I'm now that guy, but with a flipping pile driver in this situation, off an apron through a table.
Right, I think that the way that they get me to buy into it is the fact that it's off the apron, through a table, onto the floor, and you can't pin him on the floor.
Exactly.
So both guys are selling the move for long enough that when he finally rolls him into the ring, I believe maybe he could kick out of it. But they still sell me a ticket on those near falls.
And Dustin kicked out of the GTH as well.
Yes.
I thought he was winning the match. I thought Dustin was winning the match.
I did too, when that kick out, yeah.
It's like good for him, but if he was going to lose anyway, you didn't need to kick out of the GTS.
That's true. If he was going to lose anyway, don't ruin that finisher.
Reminder, guys, leave a thumbs up. It helps us a lot. Share this video. We had a ton of interviews this week. Steve Macklin, Braun Breaker, the new NXT champion, Chelsea Green and Gail Kim collectively. Those two promoting Hard to Kill, which is going on right now. Also, send in a super chat. If you want your question or statement read on the air, you can do that here at youtube.com/Fightful. But you can also do that at humperchats.com. That's the most direct way to do that. We'll tell you how to support us a little bit more later. Cyclops says, not winning with a DDT or powerbomb grinds my gears. They don't make them like they used to, Cyclops. Although, I do like Jake Roberts' approach. Jake Roberts was asked, does that upset you? And he said, no, it makes mine look even more badass. The way that I've explained it on numerous podcasts with you, Alex, is if you and I throw a head kick at somebody, it's probably not going to knock them out. If Mirko Krokop of Pride FC fame does it, well, the old saying was left leg hospital, right leg cemetery. Like that it's going to finish you. To me, it can be about who does it. But there are some situations like Montez Ford, like all due respect to Sasha Banks and Kevin Owens and Dominic Mysterio, there are other ways to pay homage to Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah.
That's Montez's now. Like his, like I would move away from it. So Jake and Ader says the show is fine, but nothing too special. I would agree with that. Volob says Dustin makes selling an art form. He just makes wrestling an art form. And I love the idea of him being AEW's Ed Harris from Major League. Like, he's got Vaseline on his shoulder. He's got Crisco throwing anything he can. But that's not where he is yet, because he's busting out Canadian destroyers off the apron. He's throwing 101-mile-an-hour heaters when he should be throwing junk balls at this stage, and it's amazing. Amazing. ShotKid29 says, fun show overall. Dustin is actually inhuman. And it ended just in time to catch the start of Josh Alexander and Jonah. Pretty good wrestling tonight. Buddy, that first hour of Hard to Kill was real. Woo! It was good. Robert, that's completely separating it from the pre-show, too.
Yeah, I would not have put this AEW show, and AEW shows are great, but that 1 hour show, that first hour hard to kill, was pretty easy to trump this show.
Oh, yeah. Brandon says, what was so special about TNT's first special? Was a glorified episode of Rampage used to set up stuff for Wednesday?
Yeah, quite frankly, yeah. Like, yeah.
I think they need to figure out a way to time it out from here on out. Every time they do one of these, the main event is the AEW title. Because it felt really, really weird not having that being a part of your Battle of the Belts first ever live special on TNT. So from here on out, you got to time it out so that the belt gets defended on your live specials.
Losper says no respect should be paid to Dominic Mysterio.
Well, fair enough. But look, I don't think the belt needs to be defended at everyone. But I think considering you had a banger TBS debut title match, that could have been saved for this live special since it was live. And you could have had many other things anchor that TBS show.
Chris Rain says, I was actually hoping for a Dustin win there, as I think the story is better. Don't know how Fuego could betray his dad like that. Fuego made an appearance. I just like seeing him on TV. I mean, they signed him and he hasn't been on TV much lately. And there was a pedigree tease at the end, which is funny because technically it's not really a pedigree tease. It's a double underhook pile driver tease, but they know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Dustin teased it and Sammy turned it around. Mark says, Cody's pedigree teases have rubbed off on Dustin, which is kind of an unintended benefit. I love it. It should. Chris says, great to see the gang is all here. Well, it's great to see you here. We hope you guys will join Denise and Steven. And if something insane happens, I'm sure I'll pop in as well right after Hard to Kill. Chris Rain says, that was my one complaint with the match. I love a destroyer through the table should have won it. I'm with you, but I also very much agree with Alex's point. That you get time to recover on that.
You know, Mark, what though? This is the second time this week that somebody has just randomly come from nowhere and said, I know my friend needs to use a table. I'm going to have my friend use a table, and it backfires. And also, why is Fuego under the ring? They gave him a contract a couple months ago. He could just be in the back.
Not only that, it happened again tonight, Robert, with the table.
Yeah. Two matches tonight.
Mark says, damn, you Fightful. I'm supposed to be writing music now. Good opener. Not a giant fan of the roll-up battle for the finish, but an enjoyable match overall. Well, afterwards, Daniel Garcia comes out. And I don't know if there is a person that I just believe wants to fight everybody as much as Daniel Garcia. And that includes the guy he's been feuding with, Eddie Kingston. And that's quite the compliment there, Robert. Every time that Daniel Garcia gets in somebody's face, I'm like, damn, I really believe he wants to fight them.
Daniel Garcia is the wrestler that the TNT Championship was made for. I don't care if it's interim or the undisputed. It's his belt. He needs to beat Sammy. He can beat Cody for all I care. This guy belongs at the top of this company, and he needs to get there quicker than later.
Well, I'm ready for that. I love the idea of Daniel Garcia. Yeah.
Daniel Garcia and Sammy is going to be great. And I love the idea of Sammy just being like, well, I'm a TNT champ now. And like that being a point of contention with Cody, well, as long as Cody is gone, I mean, if Cody's going to be back on Wednesday, it feels kind of weird for Sammy to be defending the belt against Daniel Garcia. Mm-hmm. But if you can keep Cody off TV for a while, when he shows up, it's like, you've been defending my belt while I've been gone against Daniel Garcia and then whoever else he's going to do it these next few weeks. That's interesting, too. I agree with you. Daniel Garcia doesn't just have a chip on his shoulder. He's got a whole Costco-sized bag of Cool Ranch Doritos up there, and he's angry at everybody. I love it.
Volob says, Daniel Garcia came out to nuzzle Sammy like the pup that he is. And Shauna says, Major League Ed Harris appreciation chat. You guys keep it up. I think junk ball pitcher is a great gimmick for somebody eventually. Banana peel win guy, where he goes on like a 30 match win streak by people just like tearing up their knee as they walk into the ring. Like, I think there's something real good there. Deuce says, saw a lot of people have an issue with the length of the show. 1 hour is perfect for a Saturday night special like this up against NFL, in my opinion. Well, especially their demographic up against Impact Hard to Kill. And like, as we do this show, we are up against Josh Alexander and Jonah, which is on my screen right over here.
Mine too.
Like, it's stiff competition. Like, this is it's a really good night of programming.
I do think it's very funny though that the unpreemptible programming that TNT had on right after this is a showing of The Meg, a giant shark
so
movie.
Bad.
Can't move that, guys. Can't give you 2 hours. We got to start The Meg right at 8 p.m. Central Time.
You know, it's so funny that I saw people saying, well, now that they're on TBS, AEW has a lead in from the Big Bang Theory reruns, which is valid, unfortunately, because for some reason people ever watch that, but they still watch it. Yeah. And it's just wild to go, yeah, you're right. That's a good lead in from the Big Bang Theory reruns from 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Mark Losper says Kingston versus Janela is happening at the moment. Really wish that was on television. Well, right now, we're going to talk about Matt Sydal versus Ricky Starks, which was on television. Matt Sydal, who helped out Dante Martin an awful lot. But I love that this has layers because Dante's no longer like Matt Sydal's buddy, but Ricky Starks knows that Dante Martin is a respectable guy and knows that he cares about Matt Sydal. Ricky Starks is just so good. Like, he is a pillar that nobody is talking about with the four pillars, but they have like five or six guys that you can just look at and say, one day that'll be them. And they've never been that guy anywhere else. Robert, I just freaking love Ricky Starks, and
he's everything you could want in a professional wrestler. He is the gem that the Cody Open Challenges found, and I mean that's including Kingston, because Kingston was waiting to happen, but Ricky Starks needed to happen on live TV.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer? A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time. But the question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour. You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/Fightful.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Kingston is a smash success. He can happen a lot of other places, though. Ricky Starks needs to be on television.
I just love Ricky Starks' work. He got the win here. We knew he was going to get the win. Lee Moriarty and Dante make the save, and I just love that Dante clotheslines Ricky and says, to hell with you, I'm going right to Will Hobbs. That was funny to me, because Ricky's going to see that as a huge sign of disrespect, Alex.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it absolutely is. It builds right up to Dynamite, to the Will Hobbs and Dante Martin match, which should be great. But I also love about this whole match is that Ricky even brought it up, I think, in doing his promo, was that it took Dante Martin three times to beat Matt Sydal.
Yes.
He said, I'm going to do it on the first try. So I thought that was cool too. Really love this Dante Martin and versus the Team Taz thing that they're doing. And yet it still feels like a weird story beat of, I'm going to sign with Team Taz, Lio Rush going, what's happening? You eliminated him from the Battle Royal. And apparently somewhere on YouTube, there's a promo cut by Lio and Dante where they're like, hey, our plan worked perfectly, but they never showed it on Dynamite or Rampage. So anybody who doesn't watch the YouTubes doesn't know what all that is. This story had so much legs to it. And I feel like they did it a disservice by not actually jumping into it. But I am really excited for going forward. Let's hope that changes.
Are we all in agreement that eventually Hook feuds with a jealous Ricky Starks for the FTW title? Like, that's got to be it. Like,
yes.
It's Ricky Starks sees Hook as the shiny new toy, and it's like, he's not the shiny new toy. Taz has been planning this from day one of his birth to eventually crown him the FTW champion.
I mean, literally, this belt is meaningless outside of in the hands of Hook because it is his literal birthright. He is the person who needs that belt. I don't know if he has to beat Starks. I wouldn't mind seeing, you know, a Moriarty beat Starks just to have that Hook Moriarty feud over that title, because you can anchor a show with that title. But a jealous Starks doesn't sound too bad either.
I like jealous Starks turning like you know, being upset about our shiny new puppy. Hook, and then basically Hobbs having to choose between Starks and what is left of Team Taz, which is now just Taz and Hook, and Hobbs being there in the middle and figuring out if he's going to turn heel with Starks or be this awesome bodyguard for the kid Hook, who doesn't really need a bodyguard, but it'd be kind of cool to have Hobbs walk him out to the ring every time.
RH says, Matt Sydal's a goddamn beast. That he is.
Yeah, he is.
Sweet Monkey Tuesday says, is Cody going to be away for his other TV work? Any isolating if he does have COVID? Sammy looks like he's moving on, and it's bizarre to have an interim title match when someone's been out 2 days.
Yeah.
You're supposed to lose and leave? Maybe. I do think it's weird, but, I mean, they replaced it for Battle of the Belts, but, I mean, they could have just done a different match, too. Like, they could have done a lot of different things, I think.
Yeah, they could have done a lot of things. I don't know who's number one contender for the tag titles. I know they were just one on Wednesday, but you could have done that as in this position instead of if Cody's going to be back by Wednesday, or even a week from Wednesday, you could do that Cody versus Sammy match like you wanted to.
Cody is being very vague. He's saying he'll take as much time as he needs because I believe it's a family member that contracted COVID, so there's no guarantee of when he'll be back. I do think, in regards to his other TV work, that all of the Go Big stuff is already filmed.
Yeah. I mean, they're running previews of it already. Slaps88 says, in my opinion, Starks is a contender for fifth pillar of AEW. Hope the Raiders win this Saturday just win, baby. And then Alicia says, Sean, are the Bengals winning the Super Bowl? Yes, they are. I sure hope so. But I think sixth pillar, sure, because Britt's got to be there. Volob says, throwing it out here now, and I'll throw it out there again, but Josh Alexander is awesome. Yes, he and Jonah kicked ass.
Mm.
Buddy. Jay Blood says, silence for Lee's run-in because they took him off TV and never mentioned him since the Punk match. Yep, they got to do better at keeping these people on TV.
Yeah.
Or, like, give me a one-minute just montage. What happened on Dark this week? What happened on Elevation? Just quick, like, finisher, pin, raise hand. Finisher, pin, raise hand.
Yeah.
Cameron says, guys, I know there are interim belts in MMA, but in wrestling, I never heard of it, which I think is an interesting concept. What do you think? I've heard of it. I mean, I can't remember who else did it recently, but I feel like somebody else had done it over the past couple of years. I don't mind it at all. But we had Britt Baker DMD retain over Riho. I'll say this. I love Riho's selling. I don't necessarily like her offense.
Yeah.
Like her pins specifically, like, I'll see her table her pins. And what that means in wrestling and catch wrestling is you want to put your weight across somebody's shoulders instead of tabling. You don't want to put hand, hand, knee, knee, because then it doesn't look good when somebody kicks out. Your weight's not across that. That happens with Riho a whole lot. But then she takes curb stomps, and I'm like, well, how is she going to take this move? She's standing. And then I see her spike herself on the top of her head, and I go, oh. There were a few times it was like, out of place. Like they were a little half a step off here, but the pins did take me out of it just because, again, her weight was not on the shoulders. What'd you think of this match, Alex?
I thought that that most of what I was doing was honestly was being intrigued by when they're doing this breakup angle between Jamie Hayter and Britt, because I was just like, just give me to that. I want to watch that. Like, that's really intriguing mm-hmm. to me.
I'd like Jamie to win though. Some
I mean,
matches.
That's the yeah. thing. Well, yeah, Jamie should win some matches leading up to it, I suppose. But I mean, this was very intriguing to me of her insisting that Britt get herself disqualified because yeah. it doesn't matter. If you get yourself disqualified, you don't lose the title. So let's just hit this bitch with a table, put her to a table, hit her with the belt, and let's leave. I want to go someplace else. I thought it was a really interesting thing for your henchwoman to do, because it kind of makes sense in her mind. But always being thwarted was interesting. I agree with you. Rio's amazing at selling. I don't know why. I can't buy a lot of her offense. I think her crucifix bomb looks amazing always, but a lot of her stuff doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But I thought this match with her selling most of it was great. And Britt has gotten better and better and better. And I honestly wouldn't have minded if that curb stomp, which wasn't even a curb stomp because it was like a leaping stomp from like, I don't know, the top of a kitchen counter. Like that's how high she was up when she went down. Oh, it was great.
There was a spot where Jamie Hayter slid the table out, Robert, and Riho runs up the table and cracks Jamie. I like that spot a lot, and there's not a lot of people they can do that spot with. That is playing Riho's size to her advantage. I thought that was a really smart thing to do.
Right, like Riho has good offense. It's just there's something about it where there's a lack of believability, and I think that probably is lost in translation, maybe because of the different styles. But I'm with you guys. I don't necessarily believe it. I do want to see Jamie Hayter get some wins, because this is very clear. This is all about let's just get to Britt and Jamie. And it's like, you haven't really established Jamie. She's Britt's heater, but who is she? She hasn't really won anything. If she's winning on dark, as we've said three times already, you got to show us more of that, because there is a disconnect, because people don't want to watch an additional 2 hours of wrestling every week because there's already so much. I just think that this show in general needed a bigger angle, and it seemed like this was a stopgap instead of a special.
I loved the dragon suplex counter between Riho and Britt. That was fantastic. Oh, that was good.
Running up the table was a cool, very ingenious spot, though. And however, I was honestly worried about that table landing on Jamie's shin. Like, that must have hurt like a mother.
Guys, we're heading down the home stretch. Get in your super chats and your humper chats. Brent Lockman says, just assuming Hayter is going to cause Rebel to suffer an accident sooner than later. Well, Riho stomped Rebel's ass out.
Yeah.
The apron aimed right for the ass cheeks. Unreal. Nate says, as SRS would say, buddy, that main event humps. I wouldn't go that far. I didn't think it was bad. I didn't think it was good. I think that it happened. I think there are reasons why the two may have been a little bit off, which we'll see about. R26 says, Riho had another great showing. She's much better than a lot of people want to give her credit for. Again, I think her selling's good. I think some of her spots are good. There are some fundamental things that I don't think are great. And maybe I just don't seem to see the chemistry there either. Chris Rain says, I'm happy they're done with the Britt can't beat Riho storyline. I've never been able to get into a Riho match except for Serena Deeb. I look forward to what is next for Britt. So I'll tell you a situation I did like Riho's offense in, when she had, I think it was a single crab and she leaned all the way
back. That was great. That was great.
Oh, that was good. And that is again, one of those situations where one, she used her size to her advantage. And she did something that almost nobody else can do because of that. Because with a lot of other people, that could have possibly hurt your opponent. R26 says, I'm likely in the minority, but Britt's reign has been very stale and boring, especially since the Ruby defense. Wish they would hurry up and get to the next champion instead of dragging out till Double or Nothing to give her a year-long reign. I don't think giving her a year-long reign has anything to do with it. I think it is establish the TBS title, and then you go to Thunder Rosa Britt Baker 2. That is the defining part of this title run. And unfortunately, there weren't enough other women that were built up as top people. I thought Ruby in the short term was okay, though.
Yeah,
Ruby. Go ahead.
You in.
I don't know. Ruby is great because she can tell stories. She's been in WWE where they emphasize that a little more. A lot of the women here are just, well, I'm number one on the rankings, so let's just run this match. Britt needs a story. She's got one organically in that she's headlined Dynamite, she's headlined Rampage, she's headlined Battle of the Belts. All she needs now is a pay-per-view, and that's got to be with Rosa, and that's got to be where she loses.
Alicia Ellis says, wonder when the Tony Nese Hook match is going to happen. Do you see that as Hook's first big match? No, because I don't think anybody really believes that Tony Nese is going to beat Hook.
The Cody match will be the big match.
There you go. I think the first big Hook match will be him against somebody else who probably hasn't been beaten yet.
I mean, I don't think it's going to be a big match, but it's not going to be a squash. Yeah. Tony Nese is not going to get, sure. like it's going to be like a 10-12 minute match as opposed to Hook taking something, shrugging it off, putting you in a crazy hold, throwing you on your head, and then choking you out. It's going to be an actual match, and that's what I'm looking forward to. I don't care if Hook has a big match or loses. I just wanted to see have him have an actual match where they actually book him to have a back and forth, and I think Tony Nese is the perfect guy to do that.
This isn't a super chat, but I want to point this out. Peter Davies says, issue is they give Britt promos and her feuds and not her challengers. Yeah, I agree with that an awful lot. Daniel says, Rosa and Baker needs a main event of pay-per-view. Yes, I agree with that too. If they main evented Revolution, yes. I would be completely fine with
it. It all depends on who they give Hangman to face. Yeah. If it's Hangman Cole, that's going to be a tough sell.
Of course.
But if it's like a random heel, or if it's Hangman versus Miro, that could be a great match in the middle of the card. Sure. You could main event with Thunder and Britt.
Volob says, for me, a big Hook match is one where they do it live. I think that'll be a squash, his first one. It'll be like one move and done. And Mark Losper wraps us up and says, unintended dig. AEW finds out Cody is out, and they book an interim title match. WWE finds Roman is out and rips up the entire WrestleMania season of booking and declares the brand split useless.
It's true.
It's like the second time over the past 4 months they've done it. Alex, you've got sour graps tonight on FightfulSelect.com. Yes. Before I kick it over to you, we've got news on Impact Hard to Kill's main event, Mickie James versus Deonna Purrazzo. Behind the scenes news on that on FightfulSelect.com. We've got news on who produced Raw and SmackDown matches this week, an MLW HBO connection. We have news on Sasha Banks' injury and the creative behind it. We had a rumor killer on Becky Lynch and the Man trademark yesterday. A bunch on Kairi Sane and WWE. Qatar Pro Wrestling signing a bunch of big names for their tour. We had a figure haul. We had a news show. We have all kinds of stuff. This is the last 2 days. That's even completely separate than the huge reports I did on Samoa Joe's release and WWE releasing a bunch of NXT coaches. FightfulSelect.com. Go subscribe. Alex, tell the people about it.
Yeah, you can find me right now in like 19 minutes. Starting at the top of the hour, I'm going to go live on Fightful Select talking about SmackDown from last night. Should be a quick show because SmackDown was just an episode of SmackDown with the main event, which was a rematch of a rematch of a rematch of a rematch of a rematch. Mm-hmm. And then also on Raw, I'll talk about that Monday nights. And then on Tuesdays, me and Kate Hensler have way too much fun talking about a show that none of us really understand. NXT 2.0 After Party every Tuesday on the Fightful YouTubes. You can follow me on the Twitter at Alex Sour Graps.
Yeah, I gotta start having that much fun because I'm just around helping write up the news every single day of the week. I don't have that much fun with NXT 2.0, but maybe I should. And you can follow me everywhere at Dude Felice.
Guys, thank you all so much. Again, we are on podcast platforms everywhere, but FightfulSelect.com, that's the best way to support us. If you're watching live, Denise and Steven will be live right after Hard to Kill. And this show is a banger right now, guys. This show is really, really good. Until next time, we're out.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Coriant. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.